Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Previously on the Empire versus Paul. In Rome, the Apostle Paul stood before an imperial tribunal charged with spreading a movement that threatened the order and authority of the empire. The prosecutor, Varro, pointed to the unrest that followed Paul from city to city and pressed him on his proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord, ultimately asking whether that lordship extended even over Caesar. Paul refused to retreat from his faith, but insisted that Rome could not judge his message without understanding what it meant, inviting the court to hear from those who had known him, traveled with him, opposed him, and even hated him. The court agreed, and the story of Paul was ordered to begin where the man himself began, in Tarsus, when he was still known as Saul.
Acts of the Apostles, Part 7, Chapter 2, The Empire versus Paul. The last defense of an apostle.
The tribunal reconvenes. The prisoner is returned to his place. Paul appears to have slept, which is more than some in the gallery have managed.
The court is in session. We will hear the first witness. Prosecutor.
The prosecution calls Demetrios of Tarsus.
Demetrios is perhaps 60, prosperous in appearance, wearing the dress of a successful merchant. He takes his position with the careful manner of a man who has dealt with officials before and knows how to be useful without becoming involved.
Your name and occupation?
Demetrios, son of Philemon. I trade in linen and dyed cloth. My family has been in Tarsus for 4 generations.
You knew the prisoner?
I knew Saul. I do not think I knew Paul.
Explain the distinction.
The man I knew was serious, intense, certain of what he believed. The man standing there seems to possess those same qualities. But I have followed something of his career from a distance. What he believes has changed considerably.
We will try to account for that over the course of this trial. For now, tell the court about Tarsus. What kind of city is it?
A great one. I may be biased, but the facts support me. Strabo wrote highly of our devotion to learning. We sit on the Cydnus River, with access to the sea and the trade routes beyond it. Greeks, Romans, Jews, merchants, and travelers from across the east pass through Tarsus. You grow accustomed to hearing different languages and different ideas.
The prisoner was born there.
Yes. His family was Jewish, and Saul was a Roman citizen from birth. That was not something every Jew in Tarsus could claim.
So he grew up, belonging, in some sense, to two worlds.
More than two. He understood the Greek world around him. He possessed the protections of Roman citizenship. But in his faith and identity, he was thoroughly Jewish.
Describe him.
Intense, even when he was young. He listened as though every conversation might eventually require a verdict.
What interested him?
The scriptures of his people, the law, questions of interpretation. He could argue for hours about things the rest of us barely understood.
Was he isolated from the larger culture of Tarsus?
No. You could hardly grow up in Tarsus and be unaware of it. Greek language and thought were everywhere. Saul understood the world around him, but understanding it did not mean accepting all of it.
Explain.
When Greek custom and Jewish law came into conflict, there was never much doubt where Saul would stand. The God of Israel, the Torah, the traditions of his people. Those were not negotiable.
Give the court an example.
Not one dramatic incident. That would make Saul easier to explain than he was. It was 100 smaller choices. Tarsus had festivals, games, sacrifices, processions. Religion was woven into civic life. You could hardly participate in one without eventually encountering the other.
And Saul?
Knew where his boundaries were.
Meaning?
He could live among Greeks without worshiping their gods. He could speak with Romans without adopting their religion. He was interested in the world around him, but he knew where his allegiance lay.
Yet he valued his Roman citizenship.
His family certainly understood its value.
He was granted protection under Roman law. He enjoyed privileges unavailable to many provincials, did he not?
Yes, indeed.
Did you ever hear Saul denounce Rome?
No, not once.
Call for rebellion?
Never.
Speak of Rome as an enemy?
Not that I remember.
Interesting.
Why?
because the boy you describe does not sound much like the man standing before us.
In some ways, Prosecutor, he sounds exactly like him.
Explain.
Saul knew where his allegiance ended. Apparently Paul does too.
And yet there is an important difference. The young Saul did not travel through Roman cities, proclaiming a kingdom above Rome.
Not that I knew.
He did not establish communities whose members called the crucified man Lord.
Not at all.
He did not tell Roman slaves and Roman citizens that they belonged to one body.
No, he did not.
Something changed.
Obviously.
But the man who changed was no naive provincial. He knew Rome. He understood its culture. He knew the privileges his citizenship gave him.
Yes, he did.
Then when Paul of Tarsus carried his message throughout the empire, he understood the world into which he was carrying it.
I believe he did.
And understood that such a message might have consequences.
Saul always understood that convictions have consequences.
Convictions have consequences. Thank you, Demetrios.
Prisoner, you may examine the witness.
Thank you, Magistrate. Demetrios, you said Saul moved comfortably enough through the world around him, but when that world conflicted with his faith, he chose the God of Israel.
Yes, that was my testimony.
Did you ever know him to regard Rome as divine?
No.
Or any empire?
No.
Why not?
You would be better qualified to answer that than I am.
Perhaps. But I'm asking what you observed.
Saul believed the God of Israel ruled over nations. Nations did not rule over him.
Ah, yes. Exactly.
Magistrate, we are approaching theology again.
We are approaching the prosecution's argument. Varro says that because I understood Rome, I understood that my preaching challenged its claim to supremacy. I'm asking whether that understanding began with Jesus.
I'll allow it.
Demetrios, when we were young, Tarsus was under Roman rule.
Yes.
Had the region always been Roman?
No.
The Persians had ruled before.
Yes.
Alexander came after them.
Yes.
And eventually Rome.
Yes.
Where is the Persian Empire now?
Gone.
And Alexander's empire?
Gone.
Yet Tarsus remains.
It does.
The rulers changed. The language of administration changed. The names stamped on the coins changed. The city remained. The empires did not.
And your point?
The prosecutor says that growing up in Tarsus taught me to understand Rome.
Well, it did it not?
On that we agree. But understanding Rome did not teach me that Rome was eternal.
And so you went looking for a kingdom that was?
No.
You dispute that, prisoner.
I already believed there was one. Every Jewish child who knew the prophets knew that.
Yet you now claim to have found its king.
Yes, I have.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
This is your Damascus story?
In time.
You seem remarkably determined to postpone this revelation of yours.
Because the man on the Damascus road will make very little sense to you until you understand the man who set out for Damascus.
Continue your examination.
Demetrios, do you remember when I left Tarsus for Jerusalem?
Yes.
Why did I go?
Because Tarsus was no longer enough for you.
What do you mean?
You wanted to study the law in Jerusalem. You wanted teachers whose learning and authority were recognized far beyond Cilicia.
Was I leaving because I had become dissatisfied with the faith of my fathers?
No.
Because I wanted freedom from the law.
Saul, you wanted more of it.
Yes.
You were not going to Jerusalem to become something different. You were going there to become more completely what you already were.
A Pharisee.
That was the direction you were going.
So the young man who left Tarsus was not searching for another religion?
No.
He was not searching for Jesus?
Certainly not.
He was trying to become more faithful to the God of Israel?
Yes.
Earlier, you described me as intense and certain of what I believed?
Yes.
What happened when someone disagreed with me?
You argued.
Persistently?
Relentlessly.
Did I change my mind easily?
No.
Ever?
Evidence could move you, but you set the standard for evidence very high.
Has that changed?
Not from what I observe, and perhaps that is what concerns me.
Why?
Because you were certain then. You are certain now. Only the object of your certainty has changed.
That is fair. Then perhaps the question is not whether I am certain.
What is the question?
Whether what changed me was true. Thank you, Demetrios.
The witness may step down.
Rome called its first witness, expecting to establish that Paul understood the empire he was accused of challenging. It succeeded. But Paul had turned the same testimony in another direction. Tarsus had taught him that great kingdoms rise, rule, and disappear. It had also given Rome a glimpse of Saul before Christianity, a young man deeply committed to the God of Israel, determined to understand the law and not remotely interested in abandoning either. Before Damascus, there was Jerusalem. And before Paul became the man who carried the name of Jesus across the empire, Saul sat at the feet of one of Israel's most respected teachers. To be continued.